our journey. It is the place where we are trying to go when we set sail or when we get in our car, when we start walking. We walk toward a destination. But even in terms of our lives here on earth, whether we realize it or not, all of us are headed somewhere. That X for you might be heaven. That X for some of us, and I pray not, may be destruction. The point of these lessons is to help us to ensure that we are walking toward heaven. Because contrary to popular belief, this life is not a dress. It's not something that we can go and repeat. This life is a dress rehearsal for eternity. In Isaiah chapter 62, and verse number 10 through 12, we're going to see and understand that every day in our lives, we are making choices that shape our life story, ultimately affecting our eternal destination. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse number 10, we find these words recorded in Scripture. Go out through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road, pull out the boulders. Raise a flag for all the nations. The Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. They will be called the holy people, and the people redeemed by the Lord. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place, and the city no longer forsaken. I want to use our subject today. Get started. Today is a new day. Get started. Today is a new day. When I think in terms of today, viewing being a new day, each day, my friends, that we wake up, we do so with an opportunity to shape our future. Not only our earthly future, but more importantly, our eternal destination. Each day, my friends, we have choices to make. When my alarm went off this morning, I had a choice to make whether I was going to get out of bed or hit the snooze button. In fact, when we think about choices and decisions, some sources suggest that on an average day, each person makes more than 35,000 choices each day. 35,000 choices each day. Assuming that most people spend around 7 hours sleeping, that leaves roughly 2,000 decisions per hour, or one decision every 2 seconds. These decisions might be, what will we eat? What will I wear? What will I buy when I go to the store? Will I buy milk? If so, will it be chocolate milk? What brand of milk? What size of milk? Do I want to buy milk at this store, or do I want to get it at another store? Do I want it in a paper container, or do I want it in a plastic container? Will it be buttermilk, 2% milk, or vitamin D milk? Life, my friends, is full of choices, even when it comes to our religion. What will I believe? What jobs and career fields will I pursue? Who am I going to vote for? Or some might say, who am I not going to vote for? Who am I going to spend my free time with? Will I have children or not? If I have children, what will I name them? When we have children, who will our children spend time with? Where will we spend the holidays? You see, my friends, these are just a few of the choices that we make in life on a regular basis. When I think about this idea of today being a new day in which we can choose to do better, Isaiah chapter 62 reminds us of there being a highway. And notice in Isaiah chapter 62, there is an urgency about these words. The scripture lets us know that in the text, the Lord is about to arrive and the people must get the road ready. When their work is completed, they must lift a banner to signal that they are ready. Well, my friends, whether we realize it or not, in the same way that Isaiah prophesies of the Lord coming in this time, we also need to be reminded that God, the Lord, is returning again. And you and I must do all that we can to get the road of our life ready. You know, when I think about this idea, I see it in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse number 11. Isaiah makes a proclamation, and this proclamation goes out to the very ends of the earth, letting us know that everybody has to get ready. There is no option whether to meet the Lord when he comes back. For scripture teaches us that every eye will see, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because of this, it lets me know that the choices that I make, the choices you make, are vitally important for my eternal destination. When I think about this idea, let us remember that all of us are making the choices that are going to affect our final destination. Because of this, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 26, Paul puts it this way. He says, because I know my choices are important. Verse number 26, he says, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. The NLT says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul says, in order to reach my destination, he says, I've got to train my body. There's no need of showing up at the Olympics to run a marathon and not having trained your body. You're not going to be successful. Paul says, because of this spiritual marathon I'm on called life, he says, I'm training my body so that it does what it's supposed to do. Y'all, we got to train these bodies. I got to train this tongue because sometimes when things happen in this life, my tongue doesn't want to cooperate with me. And so I have to keep training it so that when these things in life come about, my tongue and my speech is still seasoned with salt and not the gall of vinegar. Why? Because I've got to train this body to make it do what it's supposed to do. It reminds me, my friends, that all of us have got to ask ourselves, what do I need to start doing to move in the direction of the life story I want to tell? Ah, my friends, all of us are telling a story right now with our lives. And if I'm not telling, my life isn't telling the story that I wanted to tell. Guess what? This is a new day. And because it's a new day, I can start telling my story today the way that I want it to be told. For those my Bible scholars, I remember it was Paul that said, I've got to forget those things which are behind and press on toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. Why? Because today is a new day. Yesterday, when you pulled out in front of me, I might have said this or that, but guess what? Because I'm training my body, I'm more focused today. I'm not going to tell the same story today that I would have told you yesterday. In fact, some of you might not tell the same story that you would have told 10 minutes ago that you're telling today. But guess what? Today is a new day. Now is a new moment. And because of that, I can focus on telling the story the way that I want it to be told. If somebody asks you to tell your life story, what would they say? You might start with where you were born and how you were raised. You might mention your first crush. Maybe you talk about a big move that your family made at some point in your life. Maybe if you're married, you talk about how and when you met your spouse. If you're not married, maybe you would describe why you're not married. If you're a parent, you might scroll through some of the photos on your phone and show off your family. Or maybe you describe your career path. What's in your story? What's in my story? You know what? Most of us, well, let me change that. Not most of us. All of us have chapters in our life that we don't want anybody to know. We want to rush on past those stories. Maybe you ended up somewhere that you didn't want to be. You didn't want to, but maybe you ended up somewhere. Maybe there's a moment in your life where you blew it, where you really blew it, where you messed up. But guess what? Even though those things happened then, I don't have to dwell on that because today is a new day. My story is not over. Your story is not over. It's not too late to change the story that you want to tell one day. Maybe you're not where you want to be right now, but don't you want to get headed in a new direction so that one day when we're in heaven, you can look back and look to your loved one and say, you know what? God has brought me a mighty long way. I'm so glad that my story didn't end on this day. I'm glad that God didn't call me home before I got started on the right road. But, you know, because God is faithful, I have an opportunity to retell my story. When I think about this, I want you to realize that regardless of what you've done or haven't done, realize this, our future is unwritten. Now, your past is in the books, but guess what? Your future is unwritten, and you have a lot to say about what the future writes about you. Oh, yes, some might want to bring up or throw up your past in your face, but guess what? That's just them doing that. But guess what? When I think about what God is able to do, when I get refocused, reacclimated, and headed toward the destination called heaven, the scripture teaches me that God throws push my sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and he doesn't remember them anymore. Yes, your friends, yes, your family might look at you sideways, but God remembers those things no more. Here's one way to change your story if you are not satisfied with your story. And the way that you change your story is very simple. You've got to start something new. If you don't like your story right now, you got to start something new. Well, what do you mean, start something new? I'm so glad that Scripture gives us example after example that reminds us that we don't have to keep the same story, that we can start something new. When I look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, my brother, give me that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse, thank you, verse number 17. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what does he say? He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Which lets me know that if I'm not happy with my story, I have an opportunity to start something new. Because if you're not in Christ, you need a new future. You need to start a new way of life. I see the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. He says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature. Oh, y'all don't see that. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Why am I going to put on a new nature? Because I don't want to go the same path I've been going. And because today is a new day, I'm going to put on a new nature. My old nature was created to be like God. My old nature was created in rebellion, in lust, in hate, in all of these things that are shortcomings. But because I put on my new nature, I can be like God, truly righteous and holy. I see it again in Isaiah 43, verse number 18 and 19. I'm giving these scriptures because somebody has just allowed life to make the choices for you. But I stand by to tell you today that today is a new day. And instead of life making the choices for me, I'm going to make the choices for my life, because if I allow life to make my choices, I know that my destination isn't going to be where I want it to be. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 18, he puts it like this. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a, watch this, y'all don't see it. Behold, I will do a new thing. Why a new thing? Because today is a new day. Here I'm going to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I don't know about you, but some of us might find ourselves in spiritual wilderness. But God says, I can build a highway in the middle of a forest. I can put a river in the middle of a desert. Why? Because I've got it right there. No matter how uncertain or afraid or stuck you might feel right now, your story continues today. What will you start today? Don't think about yesterday. What are you going to start today? Maybe you need to start praying today more regularly. Maybe you need to go to counseling to get help with some unresolved issue. Let me camp there for just a minute. See, there's nothing weak or puny is going to get counseling to help you deal with unresolved issues. The reason we have folks that are 70, 80 years old that are still making the same mistakes that they were making at 8, 10, and 15 years old is because they got unresolved issues that they are too proud, or nobody won't help them see that they've got a problem, and because of that, they keep making the same mistake over and over again. If you got a problem, there's nothing weak in going to somebody to get you some help for your issue. Maybe today you want to make the decision to be more generous. Maybe today you want to make the decision to start serving more in the kingdom of God or in your community. I tell you this. Now is just as good a time as ever as you're listening to the preached word of God. If there are things that you need to change in your life, I encourage you to jot those things down right now. Open your notes and record your thoughts. You're not going to get to a better place just by wandering around up and down the road. See, gas is too high to just get in your car and start driving up and down 820 or I-35. You need to make up in your mind where you're going before you get in the car. Otherwise, you're going to end up anywhere, and then once you get there, you're going to say, how in the world did I end up where I'm going? If you get in a car without a vision of where you're trying to get, you don't be surprised when you get somewhere that you don't want to go. I remember one time back in the day when I was living in Dallas. This was back before GPS was a thing. And I remember I was on my lunch hour with a couple of coworkers, and we just decided that we weren't ready to go back to work yet. So we just decided that we would just ride around for a little bit. And do you know, I was driving, and the next thing you know, I looked up, and I was in West Dallas, and I saw some people. Well, I looked up, and I saw a lot of handguns out. And guess what? It wasn't the police. These were just folks. And that reminded me to this day that whenever you get in the car, don't just go joyriding. Make sure that you know where you're trying to go. The same thing spiritually. Make sure that you know where you want to go. And when you want to go to heaven, you've got to take steps that lead you toward heaven. When I think of this and I'm closing, I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter 62. And verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 62, and verse number 1. He puts it like this, Isaiah 62, verse number 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. God tells his people here, you know, you got off track. But now that you are taking steps to get back where you're supposed to be, he said, I'm going to give you a new name. He said, you, in verse 3, you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hesperus, and your land Beulah. And the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be barren. I wish that somebody had time to look at verse number 4, where it says, you're no longer going to be called forsaken, nor so your land be called desolate. See, when I'm not with God, when I'm walking away from God, my life is desolate, is empty, is deserted. I might have a lot of physical possession, but if I'm not walking in the light as he is in the light, my life is desolate. My life is empty. I don't care how many coats you have to wear. I don't care how many clothes you have to put on. If you don't have God, your life is desolate. And the more things that you try to get to fill that void, the bigger the void becomes. Because finally, you're going to see that the things of this earth cannot satisfy or fill the void that was intended to be filled by Jesus Christ. I want to get to where the Lord, verse number 4, is delighting in me. And he says, your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your son marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I want to be the one that is living faithful to God so that he can start rejoicing over me the way that he's intended to do so. But God is not going to rejoice over me if I'm headed to the wrong destination. But thanks be to God, I don't have to keep going the wrong way. I can put that car in reverse and go another way. I believe that there's somebody this morning that needs to head in a new direction, and you don't know what to do. The first thing that you got to do, and that's what this lesson is all about, is you just got to get started going in the right direction. When you got a long way to go and you're walking on foot, the first thing you got to do if you're walking to heaven is you got to start taking steps toward heaven. And the way that you get there is like you eat an apple. Somebody say, how do you eat an apple? One bite at a time. How do you get to heaven? One step at a time. Don't keep thinking about how far you've got to go and how messed up you are. My friend, you've got to start making progress and headed toward heaven. And I got a little secret for you that the devil doesn't want you to know. No matter who we are, none of us are going to be able to make it to heaven in and of ourselves. But what I want to be doing is when God calls me home, or when Jesus comes back, I want to be found walking toward heaven. And see, no matter who we are, we're going to all fall short of the glory of God. But guess what? I've got the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got grace and mercy to help me in a time of need. And so as long as God finds me walking toward him, that's what the blood of Jesus Christ is for. I can't reach the throne of God in and of by myself, but I've got the blood of Jesus Christ that fills the gap between me and the throne of God. And I want to be found walking toward the throne. And the only way I can do that is start walking from where I am now. I know somebody said, I wander far away from God. But the songwriter said, but Lord, I'm coming home. The path of sin, too long I've tried. But Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thy arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My friends, this morning, make up in your mind that regardless of COVID-19, regardless of how the election comes out, regardless of what happens with the weather or in your professional life, make sure that you made up in your life that today is the day, and today is a new day. Today, July the 26th, is the day that I make up my mind that I'm going to be walking toward heaven. And I know I'm through. And I know y'all wondering right now. And this preacher got this virus because he's coughing. And this, no, I ain't got no virus. I've just got these allergies. And I tell you, they're working on me this morning. But I pray that I've said something that is helpful to you. I pray that if you are not taking the steps toward the heaven where God is, that you will start making those steps today. If you're under the sound of my voice, you've heard the gospel. Leave it with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Remain faithful when God calls you home, and heaven will be your home because you are walking in the right direction. You're here and you need us to pray for you. We ask that you reach out to us. We'll pray with you if you need assistance. Being baptized into the body of Christ, the church of Christ, reach out. We are here for you and we will assist you with that. And make your decision known while we sing this song of encouragement.